I'd like to introduce Brian Massenbrook, who will talk about syntax analysis in the Primax text editor. Go ahead.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm here to talk about Climax, as is obvious from the talk. This work is being done by a number of people working on an open source effort. So, naturally, I'm not the only person who's named here, not necessarily even the primary contributor to the software. The project was started by, I don't know if it's Robert or Robert, I've never pronounced it, heard him pronounce it in real life, Strand from the University of Bordeaux. He's using it as a student project, and he has a goal of building up an environment in CLIM for editing and working with in a common Lisp environment. So that means editor tools, listeners, inspectors, debuggers. And this is the major editing component of that. And I'll talk more a little bit later about what Christoph has done with Climax. So, what is Climax and why Climax? I'll try and touch a little bit on why Climax throughout the talk, but to answer the question of what is Climax, it's a text editor using CLIM, and it is a common Lisp application. Unlike GNU Emacs, which I'm sure everybody here is familiar with, Climax is yet another common Lisp editor, and hopefully it's the one that will finally get us out of this eLisp rut that everybody's been in for the past 10 or so years and into the way of the future. I'll talk a little bit more about how it works. I'll talk about what it does and what we intend for it to do in the future. And then I've got some really cool demos for you that I hope you'll enjoy and take away from it, some ideas about future things you could do with it. Climax, as I mentioned, is an editor in the Emacs tradition. So, you know, you start up Climax, and everything that you see right there is pretty much what you would expect from an Emacs. You've got a text buffer, you've got a mode line down at the bottom, you've got a little place for your entering your commands, you've got your scroll bars, and your basic text commands work basically as you'd expect. As I mentioned before, it's a CLIM application. CLIM is a wonderful library. It's very complex, and it takes a long time to develop a program in it. But when you do, it does things that are really hard to imagine doing at the same level in any other GUI, because you basically have to build up your own Greenspun's 10th version of CLIM inside that other windowing toolkit. There was a presentation earlier in this room about a electronic design program in Lisp, and that was using Allegro's Common Windows on Windows. And he went through and he essentially defined up his own presentation system in Allegro. Well, we've got it right here, the full version. And the major focus of the talk here is that Climax is something more than just an editor in the Emacs tradition. It's a framework for doing syntax-capable editing. And so, as I go along here, I'll try and elaborate on what that means. But keep that in mind as I talk. The syntax-capable editing. What's syntax-capable editing? It's editing with information derived from lexical properties of the buffer that you're in. Now, of course, everybody knows that they do a little bit of this in Emacs right now. You type in a keyword, you type in a comment, you see it colorized as appropriate. Emacs knows to skip over comments when you're doing S-expression manipulation commands. It's already there to some degree. But Emacs is not a framework for doing syntax-capable editing. That information is kind of shoehorned on top of Emacs, and I'll do a demo later of our Lisp mode versus Emacs Lisp mode, and I'll show you some of the limitations with Emacs Lisp, understanding of what Lisp is, that I'm sure you've all run into at one time or another. I'd like to do two little quick demos right now that show what it means to be an editor for syntax-capable applications. Now, there are two talks in here about doing parsing of English earlier, and I think that's great. And so, inspired by doing parsing of English, I did a little English parser for Climax. I hope you'll like it. I'm going to type a sentence here. It's feet. Oh no, there's something wrong with it. I'll go up here and click on it. Ah, I have an interactive Bob the Angry Flower to tell me that I misused its. I'll go back here and fix the error, and voila, it parses correctly now. On a little bit more serious note, this is a little bit of Prolog. How many people here have used Prolog at one time or another? Okay, one of the interesting features of Prolog is that you can define your own operators, and you give a precedence for their inclusion in the grammar. And so, of course, code that uses these operators, defines its own operators, is going to be hard to parse by a normal editing application. You see, there's some code here. If you ignore the comment in that second line, it's just a comment for now, you've got two prologue definitions. I'm not much of a prologue person myself, but it's clear that the second one there is a parse error at the point of Qux. It doesn't know what that operator is. But we've got a definition for that operator, which I've commented out before. Let's go ahead and uncomment that. Now the whole thing parses. It actually parsed that operator definition, put it into the grammar with that precedence in the grammar, and reparsed that part of the buffer right there in order to determine that this is now a valid prologue parse here. And if I go and comment that out again, that returns to being a parse error because there's no definition for that operator. So I hope I convinced you here that we've got a promise of doing things that are a little bit beyond what it is people are used to doing with Emacs and other editors. So, moving on. The CLIM, I talked about it earlier, it's the Common Lisp Interface Manager. It's a standard for doing common user interfaces and graphics in Common Lisp that we're using. We're using a free implementation, MCLIM. Climax itself is not particularly tied to MCLIM, but so far it hasn't really been tried on any vendor CLIM. Unfortunately, CLIM is a very large specification. It's also got a few edge cases, places where there's a function mentioned in the definition of some other function, but that function that it mentions never appears on its own entry in the standard. And so there's lots of possible interpretations of what things say. I don't think it would be particularly hard to take Climax onto a vendor CLIM, though, and I hope to try that out on the LispWorks trial that they've been handing out. Climax, as I mentioned, is a CLIM application. This means, since we're a first-class CLIM application, our display of buffer contents is implemented with arbitrary CLIM methods. So here's a presentation. This is a presentation object here. This one's not going to have Bob the Angry Flower behind it. It's just going to pop up a buffer there. But this is a presentation. It's got a method defined on it, and it's got a command translator defined that says when I click this, it pops up the window. And so this is naturally a lot richer than what Emacs and a lot of other editors provide for doing this type of display. So, Climax, of course, doesn't exist in a vacuum. There are lots of other editors in the past. There's Emacs, the famous Lisp editor from the Catter and then on through the Symbolics machines. Unfortunately, I've never used Zmax. That's not quite true. I've used it on a Catter emulator at a horrifically slow rate, but I've never actually tried it much, so that's something I'd like to do just to be able to compare and contrast at some point. What I have used is S-Edit, the structure editor from Interlisp. And I don't know if anybody in here has ever played around with this, but structure, or used it in the past, people who used Interlisp apparently have a long time getting over the loss of a structure editor. Climax is not going to be a structure editor per se in quite that way. Rather, it's going to be a toolkit in which one could write an editor that behaves just like a structured editor, but is editing a buffer just like Emacs would. So you can work with your existing Common Lisp files as a structure. That's an example of something you could do, and there are already modes that work with files in a structured manner.
What do you mean by structure editor?
A structure editor in the term sense of S-Edit is an editor that allows you to edit essentially what is the red Lisp representation or parse tree. When you type in S-Edit, if you, for instance, hit the open paren key, you'll see a pair of parens be inserted because you're not inserting a paren, you're inserting a new list right there, and that list initially has nothing in it, but as you type symbols and whatever, you're actually inserting a symbol into that list. I don't know how it represents this internally, but that is what it's designed to give the impression to the user of editing. One other editor that's been around for a while is Hemlock, which is an editor that was originally developed as part of the Spice Lisp project to run on the PERC machine at CMU. It's kind of tagged along in the CMU sources. About a year or so ago, there was a port of Hemlock to CLIM, but it quickly became clear that it would be better to start from scratch and develop a new editor with its own abstractions to fit into a CLIM mindset. And one other editor that I've used, and I'm particularly focusing on those that are written in Real Lisp and not Emacs Lisp here, is Fred, the MCL editor, and that's an editor that provides support for stylistic editing. So you can take a block of code and say that I want this to be 42-point italic, and that information is not necessarily derived from any properties of the code. It's just something you can do with the text because of MCL's heritage as a Mac application that was pretty much standard for Mac applications at the time. So here's kind of an overview of what Climax is. It's kind of a layer cake here of an application. The base of the layer cake is the buffer abstraction protocol. Most editors have one implementation of buffer. Here we've decided that we're going to define a buffer protocol that abstracts what the type of various things you can do on editable sequences are and write multiple implementations of this buffer protocol, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The next layer in the cake here is the syntax protocol, which is what is implemented in order to do syntax-aware edit applications, which are the next layer in the cake here. Next one after that is the Climax application itself, which kind of brings all this together and presents it as a unified editing experience. And that is, of course, layered on CLIM as well. So, buffer protocol, as I mentioned, is a protocol for editable sequences of objects. In particular, this gives us the ability to do multiple buffer implementations. It also includes not just editable sequences of objects, but marks, left and right sticky marks that tag a position in the text. So, for instance, tagging the beginning of a line or the end of a line. And these are used by the syntax protocol as well, and so they're important for that. The current implementation is a gap buffer. What a gap buffer is essentially a sequence of text, and inside of that there's a gap that's not filled in. And when you type and when you do an editing operation, if the gap is already there, you type, it fills in the gap. Otherwise, it's got to take whatever amount is allocated for the gap, if it hasn't been allocated, allocate it at the end, and then move that gap to where you are. And of course, that really means moving the text that's where you're trying to edit back in the buffer so that the gap is right there. There's a library for doing this. It's called FlexiChain. This is a rather flexible library for using these gap buffers. This is a popular implementation technique. It's used by Emacs. It's used by Fred. I'm sure it's used by many other editors as well. There's another implementation of the buffer protocol using functional data structures. And this gives us the ability to support undo across multiple edit histories because information is never destroyed during the editing process. The syntax protocol is, as I mentioned, an abstraction for doing the syntax analysis, and that's kind of the meat of what I'd like to talk about here today, is how that's done. And that's done by supporting incremental lexers and parsers of the buffer contents. And this gives you the ability to essentially build your own parser or use a parser that's supplied by Climax that's based on the early algorithm. The incremental lexer creates objects based on the buffer contents for each lexeme. And then the parser, of course, operates on the lexemes and produces class instances for each particular production class. And in the early parser, these parsing rules can essentially include whatever code you want, which is how Christoph Rhodes was able to manage the various operator precedence rules that are part of the Prolog specification. So here's just a kind of a sample hierarchy of what this looks like. Gratuitous format graph from Roots Call here. You got a parse tree, an entry, and then we've got parser production classes, lexeme classes, and then some classes representing a generic terminal, non-terminal, and then an empty set of terminals, which all come in handy during parsing here. So, the basic way in which we turn the buffer into text is with a call to update syntax. The buffer has two slots containing the top and bot, which denote the region which is out of date, which is what we will apply the parser to. You can call your own parser or invoke the early parser, as I mentioned. So, if you specialize update syntax, you're implementing per buffer parsing, and we coined this here. What this says is that you've got a parser routine, and for every change that's made in the buffer, you will parse that particular part of the buffer, and if necessary, you will parse whatever else in the buffer was updated by your reparse of this particular portion of the buffer and make the whole buffer parse tree up to date at any given time. And this is useful when the parser function is fast. You don't take any hit parsing the whole buffer again. Or when the complete parse tree is used for another application. So I'll be showing you a couple of applications in which that's necessary. Well, I seem to have messed up the order of my slides here, so ignore that slide. Update syntax for display is the other main way in which you can do parsing. And in this particular model, the window that's displaying your code, your application, will call update syntax for display to update the parse tree of the buffer in the part of the screen that's viewable. So you update the on-screen region. It's, of course, based on the already up-to-date off-screen parse tree. But code which is below the part of the screen that's on screen, part of the view that's on screen, may not be updated immediately. And this, of course, is just fine because the code that's viewable on screen is always kept up to date with a parse tree. So your display methods will always be displaying on a completely correct parse tree for what is viewable on screen. You keep it up to date in the window area. And if your parser is slow, and some parsers are just necessarily slow, this is useful because you don't have to go reparsing, you know, all 20,000 lines of the buffer that are after you, the point of your edit. You just parse up to where the window stops. And when you scroll down, you parse the next part. Of course, this is not suitable if you need that parse tree to be up to date at every given time when, for instance, you're using that parse tree for some other application. And if you ignore this is, once again, another slide that's in the wrong order there, so I'll just move on. As I mentioned, Climax is a good CLIM citizen. This means you can use any presentation type in your display code. Your application has full control over how to display that parse tree on screen. So it could be simple colorized display of text. I'll use to font lock mode in Emacs. Or it could be a specific display of the parse tree. So, or it could be any CLIM presentation. It could be a URL or another one of these pop-up windows. What's interesting to note, where's the information for that pop-up? It's in the buffer. The file on disk actually has the text that was in that pop-up window a couple seconds ago, but the application decided not to display that on screen. Instead, you had to click in order to get that information. Now, there's, of course, flexibility in any editor to display information which is not in the buffer and perhaps hide some information which is in the buffer. And displaying information which is not in the buffer exactly is used in every editor. For instance, if you've got some kind of annotation hanging off your code that indicates, for instance, the type that Slime will add to say that you had a compile error here, or just even simple colorized display of text. But it hasn't always been so easy to hide information which is in the buffer. So, I mentioned before that Climax provides an early parser, which is used by several of the syntax applications that we have so far. Early was a good choice to start from. There's no preprocessing of the grammar involved. You don't have to compile the grammar. That means you don't have to know all the parse rules ahead of time, which means you can do things like the prologue demonstration that I did earlier, where you go in and add a new operator with a given precedence. You just go and stick that into the grammar. You don't have to recompile the whole prologue grammar right then. And it accepts the full class of context-free grammars, which is, of course, useful for a generic syntax-aware editing framework. Unfortunately, it can be slow in some grammars. I think the worst case is big O of n to the third, but it treats the size of the grammar as a constant. And if you've got a complicated grammar, that is not necessarily going to be the case. There's a new list mode in Climax which uses a simple LR shift reduce parser and keeps the entire buffer up to date at any given time, and this is really blindingly fast over list code. There's another grammar, the SlideMax grammar, and you can probably guess what that looks like. It's acceptably fast on the early parser, but as I mentioned, not all languages are going to be acceptable with the early parser, so that's one of the things we're thinking about right now. One of the future improvements that can be done is just to improve the McClim implementation of CLIM that we're using, make it faster, make it more complete, fix bugs, and this is a continual process. All of the existing Climax programmers are also working on the CLIM and improving it at the same time. We like to see more things added to our Lisp mode, truly making it an outstanding application. As I mentioned, one interesting thing would be to make it a sort of syntax editor, but one that was still working on a buffer of text. You couldn't tell, though, that it wasn't a syntax editor. One interesting language that I'd like to add a mode for is called TTCM3, and the only interesting thing here is that it has a graphical representation that mixes text and graphics, so that kind of mixed text graphics editing is, I think, going to be a very strong thing that Climax will be good at. And I'll talk a little bit more about Climax, or SlideMax, rather, in a minute. There's also been talk about adding an LALR parser generator so that applications which can work with that instead of Early will have access to a faster parser generator. Of course, if you're going to fully parse the contents of a buffer, as you're typing, there's going to be lots of little parse errors you introduce. You start writing half of a dispatch reader macro character, and there's nothing for it. The entire buffer is going to be a bad parse at this point. So we'd like to have better resynchronization to say, here's where we're going to resynchronize, continue from the last valid parse state, display everything, and then maybe make something invisible to the user that says, I'm resynchronizing here, and please be aware that this is just a resynchronization point, and your entire buffer really won't parse in reality. Of course, more syntax modules, always. And we'd like to see other applications start using Climax for their editable buffers. Now, I've been asked several times, when are we going to see replacements for everything that Emacs has in Climax? Emacs has a lot of things in it that don't belong in a text editor, quite frankly. GNUs, for instance. What part of viewing a list of mail messages is part of an editable buffer with support for syntax display? It's a list. You should use a list. CLIM provides very good abstractions for Lisp. Other windowing systems do, too. You shouldn't be shoehorning this into a grid of text like Emacs does. I've even seen something completely insane. It's called the Semantic Bovenator. It's a parser in Emacs. They're trying to do the same things that we're trying to do, but their display is still limited by what Emacs can do. They've got this UML2 grammar, and UML2 is, of course, a visual language. They've got a textual representation for it. So they're displaying UML2 as ASCII art inside of Emacs. This is not a particularly helpful direction to go in the future. So we'd like to see other applications continue to use CLIM for the things that they really need a good windowing system for, and use Climax when they need an editable buffer representation with best-of-class syntax analysis facilities. So this is kind of a semi-conclusion because I'm going to go on to some demos here. Climax has an exciting future. I think that the facilities we've developed are going to create some really good applications in the future. The flexible buffer protocol means more abstract editing operations in the code, means you can swap out buffer representations, and in the future you have abstract buffers that don't map directly to what's on disk or to anything else. The syntax protocol enables rich applications, which I'd like to show you right now. So, first application I'd like to show is Lisp mode. I've got a little Lisp pile set up here, and this is a Lisp file. It's got some comments up at the top. It's got a couple of keywords in it that are colorized. We've got a function here, and I don't know if you can see, it's highlighting the first paren on the line there because that's what's matching that closing paren there. This is an area in which Emacs falls down. How many of you try and use block comments to comment out huge swaths of code? And how many of you watch Emacs fall over and die because it restarts its regular expressions at some point in the middle of your comment, sees a paren on the beginning of a line down here, and says, oh, a definition! And then after that, the whole thing goes wacky. So it gets back in sync as you keep editing, but for a while you're looking at every code that's in gray or blue or whatever it is you've got set up, and you're trying to figure out what the heck you're looking at and what's commented and what's not commented out. And of course, it can't cope with nested block comments either. There's just no way that you're going to write a regular expression that will cope, that especially one that only applies over part of the buffer at a time, that will cope with arbitrarily nested block comments. it's just not going to happen. So if we open up the same file in Emacs here, I mean, it looks fine to start with. You know, the first run over it, it's fine. But let's start, you know, I don't know quite exactly what needs to be done. Oh, it's starting to get out of date there. Oof, that's commented out, but it's displaying it like it's not. And sometimes you can get, oof. See, this code is all commented out here. So, obviously, Emacs is doing something seriously wrong here. And we can do the same, confuse Emacs in the same type of manner with all sorts of other things that are defined in Common Lisp, like, you know, escape symbols and a long string containing a paren on the first line. These are all things I'm sure everybody's familiar with. This will be going away if I have anything to say about it. So, I already did demo the prologue mode. I'm sure that...
Is it your contention that that this can't be done in Emacs, or that...
As I mentioned, there's a
problem. It hasn't been, because, I mean, Lisp mode was written when? And it was written for a class of machines that were, you know, 1,000 times less powerful than they are today, and a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, it took a lot of shortcuts to do what it did. ELISP has some limitations, but is it your contention that ELISP is not capable of...
It's not my contention that ELISP is not capable of it. It's my contention that FontLock is not capable of it. It's also not clear to me that the regular expressions that they're using are any less expensive than just a simple LR shift-reduce parser. I think
that's an implementation question.
I think their implementation...
That's an issue.
Yeah. I think that's the problem. Emacs is built on FontLock. Now, there's this group of people that I mentioned is doing this project called Semantic Bovinator. It's been around for, I don't know, I would say 4 or 5 years, and they've got their own ELISP mode, which uses, I think, an LR parser generator, or maybe it's LALR. Of course, it doesn't have these problems, but it hasn't caught on. I'm not sure that it ever will caught on. Emacs is already too entrenched. People don't want to go install something else. I'm not sure that if I installed it, it would work with Slime because it was written by ELISP hackers. And I think that the approach, and they're trying to take this the next step here and to do graphical display. And as I mentioned, they're doing UML2 with ASCII art. And so I think that's one of the reasons it hasn't caught on. People look at this and they say, oh, okay, they fixed the parsing problems, but, you know, their screenshots that are quite prominent on their site are of, you know, little ASCII art diagrams. This is not impressive, all things considered.
I think just to add to that, I think there's a certain mindset in the traditional Emacs world that prevents them from actually looking at a slightly more flexible or extensible frameworks for doing things.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the original Lisp mode had the ability to push Lisp to a Lisp subprocess, too, and we rewrote Slime, and, you know, I mean, that's been a great development. Could we do the same thing for Lisp mode syntax highlight, too? That was the only question.
Why would you want to? What would the effort get you?
Installed base of Emacs out there. I mean, it's just, you know.
I'm kind of working with a long frame time view here. You know, Slime, for instance, is a wonderful application. I use it all the time while I'm working on this. I think one of the things that separates the Lisp community from a lot of other communities is that people, when they look at figure out how to solve a problem, they say, what's the right thing to do here? Can we do it? If not, what's a reasonable trade-off? But if we can, let's sit down, let's have a discussion, let's design something, let's make it do the right thing. Let's get feedback from other people on what they need. Let's make sure that it does what they need to do. And I look at ELISP and I think they haven't responded to any of the changes in the Lisp community, let alone the languages community, in the past 20 years. It's not lexical by default. There's no packages. You know, is this community really going to go the direction that I want to see this environment go? And I don't think it will. So, Andrew.
What platforms does Kind
of
do
MacLim
and
Climax run? MacLim is a multi-Lisp application. So is Climax. Currently, we've, as far as I know, people are running it in SBCL, CMUCL, and OpenMCL. MacLim itself has support for CLX. That's, of course, an X communication library in portable Lisp, and a Beagle, it's called the Beagle backend for OpenMCL, is a native Cocoa backend for OpenMCL, and I think that I haven't tried Climax on it yet, but I think that'll be a great thing in the future. Climax itself wouldn't be hard to port to other CLIMs. If you're wondering about Windows, I guess I can say there is that you know, you want a Windows Lisp, talk to Roger, talk to Dwayne, but so far there's not too many people you can talk to in the free community to find one of those. At least not one that's going to be complete enough to run something like this. Slidemax mode. Of course, you've been looking at a Climax application this whole time here. There's actually two different Slidemax modes right now. Syntaxes is what they're called in Climax. This is what the slide set actually looks like here. It's got a syntax to it. It's a fairly traditional language syntax. No, it's not an S expression, but, you know, this is not hard to parse in Climax, so I can just define whatever wacky syntax I really want to, as long as it's not too wacky. So if I go up here a little bit, we'll find... here we go. This here looks like that. And I mentioned it's a gratuitous format graph from Roots Calling in CLIM. And what it's doing is it's parsing this. It's walking the parse tree and essentially putting it all into lists and then calling format graph from Roots to display it. And it's actually walking the same parse tree that you're looking at right here. It's just that this view of the code says, I'm going to display it, and I'm pretty much going to write the characters out, fixed width font on the screen, and keywords I'm going to print in purple. But this view says, for this particular parse tree here, I'm going to read it out. I'm going to read out all of these edges and roots of the graph, and then I'm going to call a CLIM function, which was defined as part of the CLIM standard, to do this to it. So you can do this pretty much in any application that's written in Climax. So, and then the last part here is an application that Christoph Rhodes has been working on. I'll bring it up here. This is an example of something that Climax can do for you to view whatever it is you've got in your buffer in a visual, easy to understand way without necessarily changing how the buffer is presented. So up here, this is a representation of lute tablature. People who played the guitar will find it a little bit familiar. I've played neither, so I basically don't know much about it other than you've got, you know, strings and frets and you're putting your fingers on there, and this is some representation of that. And this is just another view of the parse tree that we've got over here. It's just done in a separate window. As I move the cursor through the parse tree, we see that these things turn blue to indicate the position of the cursor. I can grab one of these, and I can click on it, and it will move the cursor down to where that is, too. So there's a linkage from this view to this view that's based on the parse tree. And if I go ahead here, and if I stick another note in, it will expand and put that note right in the middle there. And I can go ahead and I can say, press a command here, and it will play the note. I can also start from the beginning of the composition, and I can play it. Excuse the bonking there. There's a problem with the command table. Whenever I press meta, it bonks. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Well, it's playing the parse tree, but I've messed up the tuning in the meta information up at the top here. So we go for Baroque here, and I want to thank Paul Dietz for that terrible pun. And play it again. It sounds a lot more pleasant. So it's reading the parse tree, and the commands then, of course, are just saying, well, what's the meta information in the parse tree? It doesn't show up in this view here, but it certainly affects some other part of the experience. If I press Control Return it after I type a note, it'll play that note for me, so I've got the right one. Means I've got to have the meta information right as well. So that's tab code. How much? Okay. Well, at this point, I'd like to. Is there time for questions or?
Well, one question too, perhaps.
Okay. Well, at this point, it's.
Oh yes, that's one.
You mentioned you're parsing until the end of the window, right?
Some applications parse till the end of the window. Others parse till the end of the entire buffer.
It's parsed, if you move a screen down, it's not re-parsed from the beginning to this end of the window. It's incrementally parsed.
It's incrementally parsed from the bottom of the last view to the beginning.
Why don't you parse to the cursor, not to the end of the window?
Because the end of the window is what's useful for the syntax display. You know, if, for instance, if I were to go back to this prologue buffer over here and say, well, I can reparse to the cursor, but it's not going to know that Quooks was just added as an operator, and then it's not going to know to display Quooks instead of flagging it as a parse error. This is what syntax-aware editing does for me, is to say that what I'm looking at is not just a prettied-up version of the buffer on disk. I'm looking at some representation of the parse tree that's designed to aid me as a programmer and a user. And that means I need to know that I'm adding Quooks as an operator with precedence 100, so please don't flag it as a parse error. So.
I hope that I didn't miss a question. I have to step up for a second. I'm maybe taking a different view from Emacs, you know, because I haven't really done much stuff with Emacs. The two things I use as benchmarks for what I want in an editor are Zmacs, which is the first symbolic editor, which didn't really do much in terms of syntax highlighting. There wasn't any color to syntax highlight with, but
okay. It's just more than syntax highlighting.
Yeah. And then most recently, the VisualStudio.net editor.
Okay.
Which had very similar features, and syntax editing was only kind of like the beginning. The things that are really useful are all the things like, you know, pop-up function argument completion, symbol name completion, all these kind of things.
As I mentioned, we like to have a better list mode. Right now, I'd say it was just within the past month that it was rewritten to use this LR shift reduce parser. So there's been some flux here in terms of that. We'd like to see a really good list mode that uses the syntactic information to do just the argument completion and anything else we can think of, because we've got all that information there. Like I said, there's a long-term roadmap here, and that long-term roadmap is Climax for editing, the McClim listener for interaction, the inspector that's in McClim, I think it's called Clozo or something like that, and then there's a debugger that's being worked on as well. And all these things should interact with each other. They should respond to each other, and with the host lisp as well. So
that's more of a substring. It gives you all the things you need to build all these other things on top of easily.
It will interact with these other tools, and so we're providing that substrate right now, and then in the future we'll be providing those tools as well.
Okay. I have an announcement to make. Tonight, after John McCarthy's talk, there will be a meeting of the ALU, and everybody who is a member of ALU or who is here is explicitly invited to be there. That was my announcement, and I thank you very much. Thank you.